today on Real Radio.
But tonight we want to look at the will of God in your life. What's he doing? We already know that he's with us and that the Lord is exercising his will in our lives. But Lord, what do you want to do now?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series by Pastor Jack called The Will of God in Your Life. Notice that this is not the will of God for your life, it's in your life. What a difference a tiny word can make, right? Well, it really does. Now remember that this is the time in Israel's history when they demanded a king so that they could, quote, be like all the other nations. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in his mini-series in 1 Samuel, chapters 9 and 10. It's called The Will of God in Your Life.
1 Samuel chapter 9, and we'll just begin in verse 1 this evening, and the title of the message is The Will of God in Your Life. The Will of God in Your Life. Not the will of God for your life. That we'll touch on later. You might say, well, isn't the title wrong? Shouldn't it be The Will of God for Your Life? No. We're going to talk about, as believers tonight, the will of God in your life. There's a difference. As believers, we name the name of Christ. We open His Word. We're serious about the things of God. We're called Christians. And we have no stomach, really. We have no tolerance, I'll say that clearly, for people who name the name of Christ but drag His name through the mud every day, every hour of the week. Though we are guilty of sinning and failing terribly, we hate our failure. We err. We do wrong. We often misrepresent the Lord, but it's not what we'd want. But then there are those who willfully name the name of Jesus, but have no stomach for His Word. They have no appetite for His truth. They're outside the will of God. You who are believers, the will of God, the Holy Spirit, will do for your life. The will of God for your life. But tonight we want to look at the will of God in your life. What's He doing? We already know that He's with us and that the Lord is exercising His will in our lives. But Lord, what do you want to do now? Tonight, tomorrow, next week? What is God going to do with you and I next year? Well, hopefully He would have taken us to heaven by then. That's what I'm hoping for. But if He doesn't, where will you and I be 365 days from tonight? I hope that we're in a place to rock the kingdom of hell. Say what? Yeah, hell. We want hell to be shaken by virtue that we're weak people, but we pray and know and worship an awesome God. We want to be guilty like Paul was and like Jesus, who, when the demons were getting ready to tear into the sons of Sceva, that they say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, we command you come out of this guy. And the demon speaks back to these knuckleheads that are imposters spiritually, trying to act like Christians, but in fact we're not. The demons said, hey, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? Can you imagine a demon saying that to you? And the Bible says that these demons leapt out of the possessed man and got onto those guys, tore their clothes off, and they ran away naked. That's pretty funny. But the amazing thing to me is that the name of Paul the Apostle was known in hell. Every praying church is known in hell. You've heard me say it before, and I hope it is true, and it comes true more and more every day, but I hope that demons in their little spiritual car kind of drives down our street and they say, speed up, keep going, don't slow down there. Those people pray. Go. Punch it. Get out of here. They give us goosebumps or heavenly bumps. Having God's will in our lives. What is God's will in our lives? We pray, Lord, in my life, exercise and execute your will. If you remember in our study last time together, the children of Israel were crying for a king, remember? We want to be Samuel like all of the other nations of the world. Give us a king. It was God's economy that God would be the ruler of Israel. They didn't want God. They wanted a physical icon. They wanted an earthly king. And so Samuel, remember, was upset at their request. But God says, Samuel, don't be bummed out. Don't wig out. They have not rejected you so much, Samuel, as they have rejected me. Give them a king. Now listen, it was God's will that he lead the people, that Israel be a theocracy, like the church today is a theocracy. Listen, I don't want to dwell on what I'm about to say next. It'll step on a few toes as it is. But God does not want earthly leaders to be worshiped regarding the church. It is an abomination to God. It is wrong to God. And listen, even men like Billy Graham, they have to be careful that people don't deify them. Is it true that Billy Graham has preached the gospel to more people on the face of the earth than any other human in all of world history? Yes, it's true. But I would not want to be Billy Graham. I would not want to go through the temptation of greatness that certainly the enemy visits him with. Can you imagine? It is wrong for a human to be looked toward rather than God. It's wrong. God wanted to be the theocratic leader of Israel. Israel rejected him. But the church is to be the living example tonight of what a theocratic rule of God is all about. We should be the greatest examples of what God's invisible leadership should be like. But the people cried out for a king. Here's the awesome thing. You might want to take a note about this. This is great. Regarding the will of God in your life, God knew from the very beginning that Israel would cry out for a king. Don't you know that? So that's why in Deuteronomy 17, before Samuel ever came on the scene, before these children of Israel ever cried out for a king, in Deuteronomy 17, 14, the Bible says there, God speaking to Moses says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it and dwell in it, the people will say, I will set a king over me like all the other nations around us. He says, you shall surely set a king over them whom the Lord your God chooses. One from among your own brethren to set up as king over you. Even though God was planning on being the theocratic ruler, God knew in his prophetic mind that Israel would cry out for a king. And so God told Moses the day that they cry out for a king, write it in the law that a king's to be given to them. Is that in the will of God? Yes, it is, but God had a higher standard. You guys, we don't ever want, and I'm afraid we do, we don't ever want to settle for second best in our lives. Tragically, I think that the Christian church, I think that we have lowered our standards so low regarding what God wants to do in the earth that we swallow a mediocre type of Christian existence. When God doesn't want us to settle for second, third, or fourth best, He wants His perfect will done in our lives. His perfect will, in your family, in your marriage, in your home, with your children. What is God's second best versus what is God's perfect will? Tragically, we live in a culture today that is gladly choosing the second best, the third best, the fourth best. It's an easier way out than to take the high road. But God wants us to be dependent upon Him. He wants us to have that leadership view, even though He's invisible, He wants to lead us and guide us. He's holy and awesome. And He has a will that He wants to do in your life. The first thing that we want to notice in our study of this chapter, and again, we'll go as far as we can tonight, but look with me in verse 1. It says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zior, the son of Bechroth, the son of Apha, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power, or some of your Bibles say wealth. That's better. He's a rich man, a very, very wealthy man, and thus he has power. And he had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. And there was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. He must have been a cutie. Amazing. Head and shoulders above the people. I saw a picture not too long ago of my hero, Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln was at a camp visiting soldiers. And the tallest soldier in the camp came to Abraham's shoulders. He was huge. And that was with his hat off. You know that hat he wears? He was huge. Unfortunately, though, maybe not. Abraham Lincoln was rather uncomely looking. This man, though, Saul, he had a rich dad. He was head and shoulders above all the people. And he was an absolute, whatever you teenagers call cuties now. Huh? You don't know? I don't either. A hottie? Saul was a hottie. And all the people said, look at him. He's head and shoulders above everybody. Man, he's a cutie or whatever the hottie thing is. He was a bomb last year. He's it. Look at him. Woo. And you know what? Be careful, because this is one of the things when you cry out for a king, this is one of the things that the world will offer you. Here's a king. Do you know what it would take now to run for king these days? Well, according to the Bible here, thousands and thousands of years ago, we learned a lesson. You better be head and shoulders above the people, and you better be a hottie. You better be cute, or else the world won't even look at you. Listen, the world is willing tonight because it is so lost that if you're good looking, you got bucks, and you stand head and shoulders above the rest of the people, we'll vote for you. We don't care if you're brain dead. You look good. Just stand there. Isn't that true? You look at the stuff that's being worshipped today. Worshipped, I tell you, by children and by youth and by adults. It has everything to do with what sends a message of good looks, power, more good looks, and being the one that everybody looks to. And the world says, that's what we want. That's the king that we want. And we're coming off a world and a system that is constantly rooted and grounded on what titillates the eyes and what causes you to look at what the person is either doing publicly or speaking, and the world will overlook all the stuff because, you know what? There's a charisma. There's a charismatic way about her or about him. Listen, I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but bring it on. You look at the stuff, the worship, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago about how I was in England, in London, in front of Kensington Palace, where Princess Diana lived on the day of her funeral and her procession. And yet the worship of that woman and the Queen Mother was trying to communicate to the people that she was an adulteress. Did you know that? The Queen Mother was trying to communicate that Princess Diana was an adulteress. Did anybody listen to the Queen Mother? No, they bow down and worship to the dead princess. Why? Because according to English standards, she had the looks, she certainly had the bucks. And she was head and shoulders above all the other women. That's a danger. We have to be very, very careful. And the Bible warns us about this. Jot it down if you're taking notes. We learn this now out of verse 3. That God has ordained a specific plan for you. God has ordained a specific plan for you. And the way that's manifested is in verse 3. You need to see God's specific plan. You need to see that. Can you jot that down? That you need, I need to see God's specific plan. Christian, pray it. In your life, God, let me see your specific plan for my life. Listen, number one, immediately forget everybody else's plans. Man, forget it. Find out, see God's specific plan for your life. Why? He has ordained one for your life. Listen, how many of you are Christians tonight? Raise your hand. Look at this. Look around. Look around. Every one of these hands raised, God has a specific plan ordained for your life. And he wants you to see it. Now, you better get excited with me tonight on this one, because I'm not going to do this on my own. Whoever you are, if you can raise your hand, know this. God has ordained a specific plan for your life, and he wants you to see it. It is his will in your life that you know that. The Bible says, now the donkeys of Kish, if you have the old King James Version Bible, I wish I had the guts to read it. It's great. The donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you and arise and go and look for the donkeys. Now, here's cool. This is great. Saul has been commissioned by his father to go look for the donkeys. Israel has asked Samuel to go look for a king. See the likeness? Isn't that great? But that's so funny. It's so true. We want a king. We want a king. So God says, all right, Samuel, go find them a king. All these donkeys want to find a king, while the king to be is out looking for the donkeys. You say, well, Jack, how can this be? Well, what's the deal? Specific plan. What's the specific plan? Listen, mark it, highlight it in your Bible. Circle the word there, donkeys or asses in your version of the Bible. Circle it. God uses donkeys or asses in our lives. He does. You say, well, you know, how can this work? Listen, God is exercising and executing a specific plan that Saul would see it, and Samuel, by the way, and the nation, using donkeys. The point is, God will use the most silly things. God will use things that you and I think of as absolutely common, everyday things. In our lives, in our culture, what is it? Cars? Computers? The routine? Listen, cheer up, Christian. That means right now, if you raised your hand, God has an ordained specific plan for your life. You need to see that plan. And listen, realize this. His plan will come often about through very routine, mundane things. And you and I don't like that. We want the airplane to ride it in the sky. God, just speak to me. And we expect the plane to ride it up there. Skyrider. We expect it to come, and it's on the front page of the evening paper in the front yard. No, God often speaks through very, very simple, mundane things of life. And here's the deal. Isn't it just like God? He's so smart. He wants us to learn how to listen and to learn how to follow. So where does he get us? Right where we need to learn to listen the most in everyday things of life. It could be a husband, could be a wife, could be a friend, could be your boss, could be your employee. God will use to execute his specific plan out in your life that you might see it through the routine things of this life that you and I live. And that's the great challenge, because we so often get dull, callous, and cold to the world around us. Listen how smart he is. He will do it that way to get us in tune with the most basic, mundane things of our lives. Meaning God is in everything. You got it? It's so great. Now it makes sense that when a little sparrow falls from the sky, God cares and he knows. You see why now how it makes sense. God's not just concerned in the building of the building. He's concerned of one person occupying one seat in that church. That's what's important to him. God never prostitutes the missionary to reach the mission field. Did you know that? He uses the mission field to minister to the missionary. It's the way that he works. His economy is perfect. He's amazing. And this, he uses donkeys. Situations with donkeys to see the specific plan, the involvement of God in everything. And how does that happen in my life? In the simple ways. By the way, as Christians, right now, we need to begin to be people who measure the routine, mundane things of life. Give me an example. Tomorrow morning, what's going to be one of the mundane things in your life? Somebody shout something out. Shave. That's pretty good, because God's going to, when you shave, the Bible says when a man looks in the mirror And he needs to consider what kind of man he is, right? James tells us, unless we forget what manner of man we are. That's good. What else?
Going to work.
Going to work. Is that a commute or getting there? Getting there and, yeah. What else?
Laundry.
See, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's the kind of stuff where it's, you don't even think about doing the laundry. You're programmed to do it. And it's in those program things where you don't, the next thing you know, you wake up and it's like, I guess I got all the laundry done. Tomorrow, and we'll be praying for you. God wants to speak in the midst of that laundry. He really does. So Jack, come on. I'm serious. Get in tune and see what God's specific plan is for your life. Begin to see that God knows, and he knew all along that there'd be donkeys in your life every day. And a crisis would come that you might have to go look for one, or in this case, a bunch of them. I think what we ought to do from here on out is begin to stop and slow down and say, okay, this is a stupid thing that's happening right now in my life. God, you're probably right in the middle of it. Help me see that. I don't understand what's happening in my life. This is absolutely beyond me. Wait a minute. I don't understand. It's absolutely beyond me. Okay, God, I think I see you near me. You see? I don't get it. If I don't get it, this must be one of those challenging moments that's causing me to thrust my logic upon God. You see, what do? We criticize it. We complain about it. We send it back to the maker. We walk back into the store and say, this thing doesn't work. And all the while, the parts were right there behind the little thing that we never looked because we're impatient. And God made us look like a fool at the store because we were impatient. I'm not talking about personal examples here. I'm just telling you. God has ordained a specific plan for our lives. And the next thing that we want to consider about this is not only do we need to see God's specific plan, but we need to embrace it. Okay, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? And embrace that specific plan. Saul doesn't know what's going on. He just knows his rich dad told him to take his good-looking self and go out there and find the donkeys. And he's a rich kid, wandering around looking for donkeys. He's got servants. Why didn't he say, hey, forget that? In fact, his father could have said, Saul, go look for the donkeys. He had the authority to say, all right, Dad. Turns to his servants and says, you go look for the donkeys. But now this guy's out in the wilderness looking for donkeys with one of his servants. What possible good thing could come of this? Where's God in that? Right in the middle of the whole deal. What are you going through right now? What's going on in your life?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Will of God in Your Life. In fact, it's a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this being Monday means that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs because you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some very interesting folks to talk about the hard-hitting topics and issues that affect all of us as believers, both personally and also in the big picture. And Pastor Jack always addresses these issues, of course, through the lens of Scripture. In other words, through the Judeo-Christian worldview. So Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. In fact, to make things easy, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. By the way, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.